All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, thanks for choosing us instead of the NFL for now. You can always go back and DVR later. But anyway, love you guys. Really appreciate you being on. We're absolutely packed out tonight. Brand new stuff from all different angles. Lots of short story stuff. No real long deep dives, but a lot of little short stories. You know what? I forgot to get in the chat, man. I forgot to get in the chat. Holy moly, I'm not in the chat. Hold on a second. Got to say hey to everybody. All right, I'll do it after the first. I'll lock in out during the video. But anyway, let's hop right into this. All right, Colin Rugg video. Okay, more and more keeps coming out now about the shooting in Georgia. Colin Rugg video. Colin Gray. Now, of course, Colt Gray. It gets very confusing because the difference between their names is a T versus an I end. So dad is Colin Gray, and the shooter is Colt Gray. But Colin Ray rocks back and forth at his first hearing after his son killed four innocent people at the Appalachian High School shooting in Georgia. Gray was charged with, get this now, and we need to talk about this because a lot of people are going to be like, this is great. This guy needs to be charged to the hill. Do I think he needs to be charged with a crime? I do. But should he be charged with all this? Because we need to look at the ramifications for all of the rest of us who are gun owners. Need to be thinking about this before everyone jumps on and goes, yes, he needs to be charged, especially with what we know so far. And he does need to be charged with the crime, but I don't know about these. Gray is Colin Gray, dad of the shooter, who was not there, didn't do anything at the crime scene. I still think she should be charged with the crime. I'll tell you what that one is in a minute. Gray was charged with involuntary manslaughter, second-degree murder. Now, that's four counts each now. Four dead people. Involuntary manslaughter. Second-degree murder and cruelty to children, and that could be for hundreds of kids. The father faces up to 180 years in prison. His next hearing will be on December 4th. Gray is accused of purchasing the 14-year-old son a rifle for Christmas. Here's a brief video. Play it for me, Naz.
This, let's see, I need to scratch this out. This document that discusses bond and gives the date of the preliminary hearing, and I guess I could sign that, and then he can just get a copy of it. And then the warrants are attached to that.
One.
All right, so there you go. Now let's just talk about this very briefly, and you can kind of let me know in the chat here as I'm trying to freaking pull it up. Come on, work, you piece of worthless crap. There we go. I hate technology. I really do. I hate it till I like it, but anyway. I hate it till I'm out in the garage using it to watch my videos. Hey, Noodle McGroin is on. Neon Widow is on. Lizzie 859 is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Swethy is on. I know her son. Scooter 8887 is on. Tammy L. Margritter. Veronica 1802 is on. Love you guys. Really do appreciate each and every one of you. I see Waterline 48. It's Waterline 46. There we go. Jen Lee 78 is on. Tim L. T. Bird is on. Love you guys. Really do appreciate each and every one of you. So let's look into this now. So we see those charges now. Remember, it's four charges of manslaughter, four charges of second degree murder. Is that really now? You don't know, Naz, if you could just put that side by side. Now here's the dad. I'm going to play you this video in just a second. Right here. I just wanted to put a face to a name because that's Colin Gray. Again, we all don't know exactly what happened yet, and I'm not at all claiming that this man is innocent, but of course he didn't take part in the shooting. Now, what are the ramifications of charging him with this crime? It all depends on some things. When it says that he bought his kid a gun, okay, which, by the way, is pretty much the story that's going around. It's not just going around, it's being reported on these on Twitter. So, I mean, I can't say it's been reported on mainstream media, but mainstream media is less valid than Twitter. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Colin Gray, the dad, of course, just again, not to mix up the names, he's being charged with these various crimes. So he wasn't there. Now, it all depends on what he did with the gun after he bought it for his son. Now, if he bought his 14-year-old son this gun, this AR-15, then this let his son carry it, he's guilty of several crimes, delinquency of a minor, and numerous other crimes, depending on what the crimes are in Georgia. as well as culpable negligence. Culpable negligence alone can send him to prison for the rest of his life. So please don't think that I am exonerating this man. I'm not exonerating him. But all of us need to think of the ramifications of giving license to judiciary authorities to charge people with crimes they weren't even at, especially gun crimes, for the rest of us as gun owners. Because what happens if someone breaks into your house and takes a gun and commits a crime with it? And you didn't secure it like you should. You see what a Democrat can do with that? So we need to watch, be very careful with these precedents and not be overly bloodthirsty. I don't know what happened. I'm not defending this guy. I'm looking at things beyond 2 inches past my nose. I'm looking at these things long term. So we need to be, look at this and go, okay, yes, he should be charged with a crime. You got delinquent, and we have to know the specifics of what happened. If he gave his son a AR-15 and they go out and shoot it together, depending on the laws in the state of Georgia, and then he locks it up and keeps it away from his son, that's one thing. If he gives his son an AR-15 and his son just keeps it and goes off and out in the woods with it and keeps it in his room and keeps it loaded and shoots it whenever he wants, okay, lots of potential crimes there. But here it's almost certain culpable negligence. Culpable negligence is very simply this. I've used this example before, and I apologize for the redundancy, but if I throw a rock, a cinder block off of a highway overpass, smashing it into a car, what can happen? There's a couple different crimes there. One of them is throwing a deadly missile. The other one, I was a cop, just so everybody knows, I was a cop for 25 years, right here where I'm sitting, Sarasota County, Florida, 1992-2017, 25 years. You'd have throwing a deadly missile or it would actually be charged with both culpable negligence. If a person was uninjured, you'd get vandalism and you'd get throwing a deadly missile. If a person died, you'd get charged with culpable negligence, which means you were doing something that you should have known would cause great harm. Mm. Okay, that's what culpable negligence is. If you were shooting your AR-15 in your neighborhood, you're not supposed to be shooting a gun inside of, the state of Florida within 500 feet of a residence, right? And you were just out there, bop, 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 and one of those rounds got loose and killed somebody. That's culpable negligence. You didn't mean to kill them, but yet it would be at least possibly culpable negligence. Even a worse charge would be throwing a cinder block over an overpass and hitting a car going 80 miles an hour behind you. So those are the range of charges. Actually charging him with manslaughter and murder in the second degree is getting sort of, we're getting into the realm of Derek Chauvin-ish, just so you know. Mm-hmm. And we need to be real careful with this. Everyone, even conservatives, fry that guy. Well, okay, and I'm all for parental responsibility to a degree, but we need to be looking long-term at what this will do for other gun owners. You're like, Tom, it's totally different. If someone breaks into somebody's house and this guy giving his son a gun, it's different, but not totally different. Because now when you have a judiciary, a court system that does whatever it wants, raids Mar-a-Lago, arrests Navarro, arrests Bannon, arrests Trump, defamation suits against Giuliani, bankrupting him, against Alex Jones, bankrupting him, raiding Project Veritas, raiding Giuliani, so I'm doing whatever they want and just making it up, what will happen to gun owners in blue states? And somebody breaks into their house, a lot of people keep a gun in a car and somebody says, forget and leave it there overnight. And somebody breaks into it and then kills the kid with it. If they think about this, if they sue Winchester for a murder, which has already been done, you're telling me that you couldn't be criminally charged if someone stole your gun and committed a crime with it? If it could be shown that you didn't properly store it according to their standards? You're like, there are no standards. They'll make it up. Well, yeah, but Tom, if it's not in the statutes, then I can't be charged. Do you honestly believe that now? Do you honestly believe that in our current situation in our judiciary system? Do you honestly believe that? But you're like, Tom, they're going to charge you with crimes that don't exist. That's Trump's 34 felony counts. They're crimes that don't exist. They're charging him and he's been found guilty for crimes that don't exist. Same thing happened with Navarro. Same thing that happened to Bannon. I mean, we're going to deep dive into the E. Jean Carroll case. I mean, there's nothing to charge him with. There's nothing. I mean, I know that's a civil case, but we're just going to go ahead and mesh them together for now because civil charges and criminal charges. But anyway, there's nothing to charge anybody with, but they do it anyway. To get Trump into court on E. Jean Carroll, they had to actually change New York statutes to do it. Right. And you think there's any backstop for you? That's why we need to be real careful about precedents that's being set. Does he need to be held accountable? Colin Gray? Yes. And here's the weird thing, too, is let's all wait till he gets a high-powered attorney, just like Crooks' dad got. It's kind of, again, and the FBI knew all about Colt Gray. And by the way, FBI knew him, too. Yeah, over a year ago. Colt Gray and Colin Gray. Here's the thing. Shadow of Ezra video, Georgia authorities have released chilling audio from 2023 visit to the home of the alleged Georgia high school shooter, sparked by an anonymous tip to the FBI about online threats to possibly shoot up a middle school. So a year ago, he was making these threats. Who does this sound like? Aaron, I'll see if you remember. Who does this sound like? This sounds like Nicholas Cruz from Parkland.
Yep.
Same exact thing over and over and over again. In the authorities, they all knew about. I can't remember whether the FBI knew about Nicholas Cruz or not, but I don't want to.
I think so.
I think so too, but I don't want to say it because I don't know for sure. Aaron's now typing, so we'll figure it out. We'll know in just a minute because Aaron will find out. But anyway, so Nicholas Cruz, though, was moved from school after school after school, and the kids were identifying Nicholas Cruz as the next school shooter, just like they were with Colt Gray. They were all saying he was going to be the school shooter. And the FBI knew him a year ago, and the school authorities knew him a year ago and did absolutely nothing about it. When you have a kid that's talking about shooting up a school, that kid actually a year later shooting up a school is inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable. The kid should have been kicked out, should have been expelled from school forever. And once you're expelled, you're permanently trespassed. Go, Aaron.
Yeah, so the FBI got a tip in January, which was a month before Nicholas Cruz did the shooting.
There you go. 30 days more. That's not enough time, is it? Oh, yeah. They already had Nicholas Cruz on the radar. I'm talking about the school system and the local police. And Nicholas Cruz on the radar. And that was all a Democratic Party system. What happened down there was a Democratic Party. Basically, I'm trying to think of the adjudication system down there. It's all fact, by the way. Put into place by Broward County, Florida, which is very left-wing. That's who Ron DeSantis had to come in and replace all the election personnel in Broward County because they're all corrupt. Remember that?
Yeah.
They're very corrupt. Very corrupt people. And they knew about Cruz and they kept on because they put in a school adjudication system in where basically kids were never held accountable even for crimes. I'm not talking about throwing food in the cafeteria. I'm talking about crimes on campus. And Cruz got shuffled around and never held accountable for what he did. And eventually, he ends up shooting up Parkland and killing, I believe, 14 kids. So anyway, so here is a year ago, local authorities, and I'm trying to think here if the FBI is in this video too, but it might just be local cops. I don't know. We'll watch the video one more time. I'll see. But anyway, here is Colin Gray speaking to local authorities a year ago about his son because his son was talking about possibly shooting up a school. Play for me.
Let me ask you this. Do you have weapons in the house?
I do.
Are they accessible to him?
They are. I mean, there's nothing loaded, but they are down.
Okay.
We do a lot of shooting. We do a lot of deer hunting. He shot his first deer this year.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so, I'm pretty much in shock, to be honest with you.
Well.
I'm a little pissed off, to be even really honest with you. So I'm a little taken back by the whole thing, but I can tell you this, I take that very serious, and so does he. As a matter of fact, like, I don't know, I don't know anything about him saying shit like that, and I'm going to be mad as hell if he did, and then all the guns will go away, and they won't be accessible to him, you know, I'm trying to be honest with you, I'm trying to teach him about firearms and safety and how to do it all and get him interested in the outdoors, like on my phone.
Get him away from those video games.
Exactly right. That's the God honest truth. And the picture on my phone is him with blood on his cheeks from shooting his first deer. It was just the greatest day ever.
Yeah,
so
sure.
He knows the seriousness of weapons and what they can do and how to use them and not use them. So it's kind of a little bit of a shock. So in whatever y'all are telling him, please instill in him that if this is whatever or where this has come from, it's no joke.
Yeah.
Like, it's no joke.
But we wouldn't be here if it was.
No, I know. I know. And I'm telling you right now, we talk about it quite a bit. Okay. All the school shootings, things that happen.
Yeah.
All
scary.
Hey, are you getting picked on at school? He is. He's getting picked on at school. And is everything okay? That's why I keep going up there.
Yeah.
You know, because you never really know. And I don't want anything to happen to him. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, if you want to grab them.
Yeah, y'all talk.
Or we can go in.
It's all cool. Hang on.
So again, this was a year ago, and this is the quote that he had made online threats to possibly shoot up a school. Why is he in school less than a year later? Why is he there? Anybody ever heard of expulsion? That's what you do, is you expel these kids and they go to a second chance school where they are closely monitored in a very, very small classroom. This kid ends up back in school less than a year later and shoots up the school and kills four people, two students and two teachers. Why is he even in school? I mean, that absolutely blows me away. And the dad here, I don't want to say defended the dad, but the dad, I mean, now I'll attack him. So the dad says, if this happens or that happens, then all the guns will go away. He's 13. Why does he have access to any guns at all? You're like, well, what if you go out hunting? If you go out hunting and you're carrying the gun and you see the buck and you hand it over to your son, that's one thing. Why does he, and I don't like the way that was phrased, then all the guns go away? He shouldn't have access to guns. And by the way, dad already knew, I'm assuming anyway, at that time that this kid was struggling. Look at him. Okay, we'll see the video in a second, but look at this kid. As a matter of fact, side by side at Naz on that next one right there, whenever you get a chance. So look, there he is to the left there, and I'll just read this to you. GPS data, Shadow of Ezra, GPS data reveals that an FBI agent, very strange again, previously linked to multiple other shooters. Weird. It's oh almost gosh. Like all this is coordinated. And you're like, well, what kind of platform or what kind of account is Shadow of Ezra? Go look at it. It's got about 247,000 followers and follows nobody. An FBI agent previously linked to multiple other shooters was within 1,000 feet of the Georgia school shooter, Colt Gray, on 11 separate occasions over a 14-month span. Wow, what a coincidence this is. You got Thomas Crooks practicing at the DHS / Secret Service range and having encrypted accounts in New Zealand and what are the other ones, Aaron?
Belgium.
Belgium and one other
and
one.
I think Germany.
And I think Germany, yeah. So Germany, Belgium, and New Zealand. Thomas Crooks, who is a nutrition assistant at a nursing home, has encrypted accounts and is able to build 3-channel detonators and actual explosive devices. Weird. It's almost like everything is a Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot. And the FBI is within 1,000 feet of this guy 10, 11 separate times over the last 14 months. That is really strange, especially with an agent affiliated with several other shooters. Weird. It's so weird. And back to dad real quick. And I just wanted you to see the kid there. Okay, you know the kid is troubled. He's 13. He's gay. Oh, Tom, you know, I'll say whatever the freak I want to say. Gay is not okay. It's hellbound sin. This kid is gay. That is abnormal. It is 1% of the population. Your kid's gay. Something's wrong. And he's struggling with how transgenders are treated at 13. Might not want to give the kid a firearm, considering how many transgenders have shot up schools or people concerned about transgender genocides that are only committed by transgenders, but for some reason, transgender people are concerned about they themselves being genocided, even though they're the only ones committing genocide. So, you know, dad, you might not want to be giving your kid who is very troubled, very bullied, very gay, and is bothered by how transgenders are treated. Might not want to give them access to guns. Call me crazy. And again, just very odd that the FBI is within 1,000 feet of this 13/14-year-old kid, how many times? Is he multiple other shoot within 1,000 feet? 11 times in 14 months. So basically once a month, they're within 1,000 feet of this kid. That is very, very strange. It's almost like there is a deep state operation cabal going on. And again, how the cabal works is so you know, yeah, you got your kid looks like this. Okay, and you can say whatever you want. Don't judge by book by its cover. That's crap, by the way. Okay, you know what? When you're 14 and you're dad, you don't let your kid look like this. I don't care what you, if people stop watching the TL because of that, it's overly judgmental. You know what? Here's what I say. My shirt will speak for it. There you go. There you go. The shirt will speak for me. You ought not to let your kid look like this. He's dying his hair. It's way long. He's troubled by how transgenders are being treated because he's transitioning himself. He's gay, whatever. And he was gay. And he's being bullied. You might not want to give the kid a firearm. Call me crazy, but you know what? You don't do that. And it's just very strange that the local authorities, less than a year prior to the shooting, or maybe slightly over, a year-ish, I don't want to say more or less, so I take back the less parts because I don't know whether it was less than a year or slightly over a year. But regardless, a year prior to the shooting, he should be expelled forever. If you put online that you are, this quote, this is what he's putting online, this guy right here, I want to possibly shoot up a middle school, he's out for life.
Yeah.
He can get his GED. He's out. That's the way that it is. You don't ever chance that with people, especially a deeply troubled, nonverbal, gay, struggling with transgenderism kid. All right? You just don't ever let him back in the school. Because you know what? Other people's lives are at stake, and we all need to stop worrying about everybody's feelings and actually keep kids safe. The left likes to talk about it. The reason why most kids aren't safe in school, the ones they don't abort, all the leftists, we need to keep schools safe, keep kids safe, and then they butcher 41 million kids a year. Yeah, we don't need to take advice from them. That'd be like taking vegetarian advice from a leopard. So you know, you don't bother with that. You want to keep kids safe. Forget about being politically correct. That'll keep kids safe. They say things like, "I want to possibly shoot up a middle school." You're expelled for life, bud. You get to go to a second chance school and get your GED. Done. That's what you do. And you know what? You know how many kids will actually write, "I want to shoot up a school"? Zero. That's what you do. All right, let's go to the next one finally. Shout out Ezra tweet. Are we on the right one, everybody? Is that where we're at? Are we all on the same thing?
We're on
the next
one.
We don't look like we're on the same thing here.
We got the
okay.
Video.
Oh, video. Colin Rugg. Yep. Is that where we're at? Okay, yep. Colin Rugg video. Actually, you guys can just run that side by side. I'm going to read you Colin Rugg's writings on this, his article on this, as we're looking. There he is. Now, you know what? Freeze that camera for me, Naz, if you can. Okay, your kid looks like a giant mop on his head. You know, you might want to not hand him a gun. I mean, am I out of line with that, Aaron? You don't have to back me up. You can defend him. I'm serious. I mean, I mean that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes maybe I was raised in a military home. I was a cop for my entire life. And, you know, appearances, you know, are important in all those things. But I can tell you flat out right now, I'm 13. My dad's not letting me wear that hair.
I didn't look like that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, back when Aaron had hair. Aaron did have hair for a long period of time.
I did.
He did. I think it started to wane sometime in his early 20s. But anyway.
18.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You were losing it by the time I met you.
Yeah, it was rough.
Ish. But anyway, so you don't let that kid have a firearm. That basically, this is the court hearing, and he's being charged with the murders and the other various crimes. So you don't really need to hear that. But here, you can just run it just so you can kind of see him moving around. Colin Rugg, this is his article. Just in, Georgia shooter Colt Gray was bullied for being gay. Don't give him a gun, Dad. And FBI, you might want to intervene. Local law enforcement, you might have wanted to intervene here. And express frustration with the acceptance of transgender people. According to CNN, Gray's Discord account discussed his frustration with the acceptance of trans people. So either he was worried about their, it's very difficult to translate what this is saying, whether he was bothered by their lack of acceptance or bothered that they are accepted. I don't know. The account referenced Adam Lanza, the Sandy Hook elementary school shooter, and in a separate post shared a desire to target an elementary school and expressed frustration with the acceptance of transgender people. So we're actually seeing a digital footprint. I'm surprised that's not erased.
Yeah.
The only reason why it's not erased is because Crooks was erased and we all wouldn't fall for it twice. Colin Gray, Colt's father, reportedly told Jackson County Sheriff's Office last year that his son was bullied at school for being gay. It was very difficult for him to go to school and not get picked on, he said. It went from one thing to another. I was trying to get him on the golf team. They were like, "Oh, look, Colt's gay. He's dating that guy." Just ridiculed him day after day. During the same interview, Colin Gray said his son gets flustered and under pressure and doesn't really think straight. So, Dad, you might not have wanted to give him access to an AR-15 and buy him an AR-15 Christmas of 2023.
Yeah.
Yeah. Call me crazy, Dad. And that's why you may be facing life in prison. He knows the seriousness of weapons and what they can do and how to use them. And not, yeah, we get that. He knows how to use them. He just executed 4 people. Might not want to give this kid access to firearms. All right, so let's pivot off of Colt and Colin Gray. Let's just look at some stats, shall we, of who's committing all of the massacres. Now, again, transgender people are always saying, and you'll hear whether it's Kathy Hochul or Biden or Harris or Gavin Newsom and his wife just love to lop off penises and testicles and breasts. They love doing all of those things. Democratic Party loves for 48-year-old men with taped up testicles to twerk in front of 8-year-old girls. They love all of that and then claim that white supremacist terrorists are harassing and murdering and committing genocides against transgender people and gay people. Well, again, I challenge anybody to find me a video ever. Now, we played a video the other, two, 3 nights ago of a man in a dress attacking a Trump supporter for absolutely nothing. They're walking down the street. Trans guy goes, do you love Trump? And the Trump lover goes, yeah, I love Trump. And the guy just attacked him. Show me one video where that ever happens in reverse. Show me. Just show me. I will play it. I promise you. I know that I'm 800 people that are watching right now. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Well, the CTN, the Christian Television Network, is also international right now, all around the world. You can send me a video. Seriously, you can. You can send it to me on Twitter. You can send it through Rumble, whatever it may be. And I'll play it. If you can show me any black man attacking a transgender person, show it to me. Any white man attacking a transgender person, show it to me. Any white woman, black woman, Hispanic woman, Asian woman, anybody attacking a transgender person, you won't find any. It's just like, who is it? I'm starting to see Trump signs pop up around my neighborhood. Hey, you know how many Biden signs I'm seeing? So far, I've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, at least 3 Trump flags or signs up in my neighborhood. I have a very small neighborhood. And 0 Biden Harris. That's kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, I just wanted to throw that in there as a, you know, as a side note. But just please, if you ever see any, if you ever have any of those videos, please mail them to me. I will gladly play them. But what I was going to say was, it's just like the videos with Trump signs and everything else. Find me a video of a Trump supporter tearing out a Biden Harris sign. Hey, please. Now we have, so the only people that are insane, the only people that are vandals, BLM, Antifa, the only people that are violent murderers are the left. But they constantly accuse us of being violent murderers. And the transgender lobby, which is the entire Democratic Party, when you're voting for the Democratic Party, you're talking about an enhancements of Title IX, forcing kids, forcing men into women's restrooms, forcing men into women's sports. When you're voting for the Democratic Party, you're voting, of course, for the lopping off of 12-year-olds' penises and testicles and breasts in these transgender surgeries that they all denied until they found out that they were exposed and they claimed that they were getting death threats. It's what they always do. But they've all been exposed, Boston Children's Hospital, everybody else. And then, of course, so the people who are actually violent are always, including the trans lobby, are the ones that are committing violence. Look right here. Colorado Springs, a shooter identified as non-binary, a.k.a. trans. Mass Denver shooter, identified as trans. Mass Aberdeen shooter, identified as trans. Nashville mass shooter, identified as trans. And now, Appalachian school shooter.
Yep.
Was having some sort of issue with trans and identified as gay. Kind of weird. Go to the next one for me, Naz. Just one more for you. Just so you see. Louisville killer, right here. Also, identify, he, him. Also had an affiliation, bare minimum, with transgenderism. And I guarantee you, idiots like Connor Sturgeon right here would claim that you and I are the ones who are committing genocide on the trans people, but the trans people are the ones committing genocide, not us. Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one. Colin Rugg tweet, just want to show you the stats. This graph is concerning, specifically Gen Z, because here's the thing. We need to be very concerned about transgenders, not because we're transphobic. You know, if a guy wants to wear a dress, go ahead, but I'm not going to call you by your preferred pronouns. Let's just get that straight right now. Never's going to happen. Never will do it. Just like COVID, never will close, never will, never will mask, never will vax, zero, never will stand 6 feet apart, never have, never will. I'm never going to call you by your preferred pronouns. If you have a penis, you're a fully penis man, that's what you're going to be called. You're gonna be called. No, you're gonna call him a fully penis man. No, I will call him by his by he. I will call him him. I will call him by, if I know his name, I'm calling him by his male name. The reason why I bring up these stats is because the people that we need to be concerned about are the people telling us that we are the ones that they need to be concerned about. No, we need to be concerned about them because they're the ones that are violent. They're the only ones that are violent. There's no videos of anybody committing violent acts against trans people. The graph is concerning specifically Gen Z, red giant bar to your right. This seems to support your stop pushing this trans agenda down their throats narrative. Let's look at the dates, shall we? 2014. If you actually, you look at this, how many, the percentage of the population, 7.2% of U.S. adults now identify as LGBT. That's just fantastic. 7%, right? Of course, that's all just lies. That's people identifying as don't actually live it. It's just like men, you know, men dressing as women and get access to women's locker rooms. And so they're actually very much heterosexual, dating and having sex with women. And then also getting into women's sports where they can watch female athletes undress. Well, that's just a fact. That's what's happening. Yeah. So you get, that's why so many people are identifying it. You notice how, have you ever noticed how no females identifying as men are trying to get into men's locker rooms? Isn't that weird? Have you ever thought about it? Think about it. Let's all think both logically and logistically here for just a moment. All of the women that are identifying themselves as men, we've not run into any problems with them wanting to be in men's restrooms. So they're all identifying as men and staying in women's restrooms. Just shows you the idiocy of this and the absolute abject perversion of it all, because the only people trying to get into the other sex's bathrooms are men pretending to be women. Same thing in the penal system, in the penitentiaries. You ever see women identifying as men trying to get into the men's system? Why wouldn't you? I mean, you're identifying as a man. Why don't you want to get in there? That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Oof.
Oh, no. You have men in men's prisons identifying as women, and under Kamala Harris and Gavin Newsom, getting transitioned into a female prison and raping and impregnating a female inmates. That's what's happening. But I digress for just a moment. So now you look at these percentages going on right now, 7.2% of the U.S. adults identify as LGBT. That's a major problem as far as violence, because they are the ones that are actually committing violent acts. Now look at this. Gen Z in 2022, basically 20% of Gen Z. That's born 1997 to 2024. Then we have, Aaron, you're a millennial, I guess.
Yep.
Aaron's class. Born 1981, 1996, Aaron and Ness, husband and wife, their percentage in 2022, 11% of your population claims to be LGBT. Generation X, which is 1965, 1980, hey, there's mine. I'm Gen X? I know I was Gen X. I'm Gen X. Okay, I have no idea. I know what I was. Okay, so I'm Gen X, and 3%, my generation's better than yours. Doo-dah. Aaron, singing that to Aaron and Ness. Yeah. And then 2.71. So it's drastically going up because they're being Stalin style indoctrinated. Yeah. Let's look at this though. Here's the important graph. Put the next one for me, Ness. Rates of sexual offending. So let's look here, shall we? Now, every one of those things you see, little top, those three things, those are identifying offenses. Every little dot identifies a sexual offense. Everybody got it? Aaron, yeah. That's easy to see, right?
Yep.
Okay. So the top one is women. Their rates of sexual offending. See it up there? Women don't commit. You can read it. Incarcerated sex offenders. 103 out of 30.4 thousand.
Million.
Are women. 34.4 million.
Yeah.
Oh, 103 out of 30 million offenses are women.
Yeah.
You know what those are. You all know what those are. Those are the women, those weird teachers who end up having sexual relationships with post-pubescent boys in high schools and middle schools. That's what that is. Okay, other than that, and you're like, Tom, how would you know? I was a cop for 25 years. You know how many pervs were ever even reported? Listen, when you're a cop, you're sitting in your police car, and basically 24-7, you have access to dispatch calls because your radio's on. Not 24-7, during your 10 to 12-hour shift, right? And you're sitting in a car, all the dispatch calls are coming up. Right here in Sarasota County, you have about 130,000 calls for service every year. It's a nice community. That's actually not that high. It's not Mayberry, but it's not that high. It's actually more than that for calls of service. That's how many case numbers are drawn. 130,000 to 150,000 case numbers are drawn per year in Sarasota County. So obviously for 25 years, 1992 to 2017 straight, 25 years, I never saw one call where a woman was a pervert. Not one time. Never. Not one time. You know, whether you had the gay beaches, there was no lesbians that were doing it. It was all gay men. So I'm being serious. I mean, it was all gay men. They had their own little sort of subculture at a specific beach right here in Sarasota County. I had a friend of mine who actually was in the unit where they were trying to lure these guys in, you know, to arrest them. And they marched him down the beach in a G-string bikini, fishnet bikini, because he was this jacked up dude. So he knew that he would be, you know, attracting these men. Because they had all, what they do is go back into the woods and they take pictures of each other and do all kinds of weird, lewd things. And then problem was, it's public beach, and like some little kid would walk through there and see two men engaged in whisker crime. So, you know, we had to put an end to that as law enforcement. So actually, Sarasota Police Department, not Sarasota County Sheriff's Office, but the SO had operations like that too. So anyway, now you go on to the next one. Incarcerated sex offenders. Now the next one is men. 11,660 out of 29.5 million men, 395 per million. I don't understand what that means. I don't get, oh, okay. So 395. Okay. That's how it is. Per offense with women, it's 3 per million.
Yeah.
Per offense, that can't make sense. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, because the rest of them, I would be only 395 out of a million. That doesn't really make any sense, does it? Out of sex offense, because it had to be committed by somebody. I guess maybe those are adjudicated cases, and the rest of them are reported. I have no idea. But obviously men commit, I don't understand this graph. I should have looked at it more closely. But obviously men commit a lot more. Now let's compare men and women in comparison to men who identify as women. Incarcerated sex offenders, 92 out of 48,000. So 1,916 per million. Okay, so I don't really get this because most of the time somebody has identified as a suspect in these. So I don't really necessarily, may mean adjudicated cases and all the rest of them are non-adjudicated cases. I don't know. So anyway, most on a percentage basis, sex crimes are committed by men pretending to be women.
Yep.
Way more than men who are just being men, and women basically don't commit sex crimes. I mean, there it is. I mean, oh, yes, they don't. That's just a lie. 25 years, not one. Not one. Do you know how many perv calls I saw? They were all men. They were always men. Come on. It's just a totally different culture. Democrats can lie as much as they want and say that men and women are the same. They're not. How many peeping Toms have ever been a woman? Zero. I'm telling you. Go, Aaron.
Yeah, it's called a peeping Tom.
Yeah, right. There's a reason. I hate the name. I mean.
Yeah, sorry, Tom.
Yeah. I mean, I made fun of Aaron's Gen Z or whatever he is. Made fun of him. Now he gets back at me. All right, let me show you this. This is great. Now, we got, of course, Tim Horseman Waltz is running for vice president of the United States. Here's this lieutenant governor. Her name's Peggy Flanagan. Now, you might be thinking, this is one of those, what do you call it, Aaron, when you make, you create a false graph?
It's like a meme.
Yeah,
like,
but you know, people can make it fake, you know, they make it like a fake pic.
Yeah, just Photoshop.
Yeah, Photoshop. Yeah, so this is Photoshop. That's why Aaron's here. So they photo, you ever think of this? It's not Photoshop.
No.
Side by side, the next one for me now is whenever you get a chance. So this is Waltz's lieutenant. Governor. I'm going to have you roll it back and play from the beginning, but I just, so everybody knows, that's the shirt.
Yeah.
She's wearing, now can you go back, I'm sorry to do this to you now, can you go back to the original pic? What on earth, imagine if we were to put a shirt like this on. For any cause, if I want protect Christian kids with a buck knife on it. Who's committing genocide and who are the violent ones? There are no videos of us committing violence, but a crap ton of Democrats, BLM, Antifa, and of course, all the people committing genocides right now, which are all transgender people. And you have it being encouraged by Peggy Flanagan, who is Tim Waltz's lieutenant governor in Minnesota. That's what she wore. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if I put protect Christian kids with an AR-15?
Yeah.
If I put, you know what? All kids matter with a buck knife. I'd be crucified for it, and I wouldn't care because I don't care what anybody thinks. But, I mean, can you imagine? She's proudly wearing that. I mean, how does she wrap her head around that? That's good. How does she not being criticized by the mainstream media? All right, let's go to the video. Just so you know what she's saying, this is the lieutenant governor, basically Tim Waltz's partner in Minnesota, basically running the state of Minnesota right now. Peggy Flanagan is running the state of Minnesota right now because Tim Waltz is probably checking into various horse stables around the country periodically, but other than that, he's running for vice president. She's actually running the state of Minnesota right now. Minnesota! Anybody from Minnesota in the chat? How on earth does this person get elected in the state of Minnesota? But here she is. Here's Peggy Flanagan. Play for me, Ness.
Because let's be clear. This is life-affirming and life-saving healthcare. When our children tell us who they are, it is our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them. That's what it means to be a good parent.
One.
That's who's running the state of Minnesota right now. Now, I want to show you, you probably saw it in the pregame if you watched the pregame, but there's a couple more hundred people on now. Here's the first 12 seconds of Kamala's ad, so she's actually supporting the violent ones. Play it for me.
The freedom not just to get by, but get ahead. The freedom to be safe from gun violence. The freedom to make decisions about your own body. We choose.
And you can watch the whole ad whenever you want, but just make sure you count how many white men are in that ad. Just do me a favor. Count how many white. It's about a 60-second ad. Count how many white men are in that ad. Because now white men are to be avoided at all costs, even though we're the majority of the population. We're to be avoided at all costs, and we're the evil ones. And we're not doing anything. Our crime rates are lower than everybody else. It's absolutely insane. When you go outside of Asians, probably. I mean, but you know the very, and again, I don't care about race, but it's whoa.
Sorry.
Okay, something just slammed over here. All right. I don't really care about race. I just don't like when it's used as a political weapon or a political tool. I don't care what color people are, but if you're going to accuse people of things according to race, then at least be accurate. All right, so here's another one. We're changing stories now. ACYN video. ACYN's a lousy site. They're leftard. They were rejoicing in this video. A little bit long here, almost 4 minutes, but Garland, we're gonna deep dive into this just a little bit, then we're going to move on to something else. Garland, we unsealed an indictment of two Russian-based employees at RT, a Russian state-controlled, it's Russian TV, a Russian state-controlled media outlet, and here are the alleged trumped-up charges. Play for me, Ness.
First, this morning we unsealed an indictment in the Southern District of New York of Konstantin Kalashnikov and Elena Afanasyeva, two Russian-based employees of RT, a Russian state-controlled media outlet. They are charged with conspiring to commit money laundering and to violate the Foreign Agents Registration Act. That law, enacted nearly a century ago, was enacted to ensure that the American people were informed when a foreign power engages in political activities or seeks to influence public discourse. The American people are entitled to know when a foreign power is attempting to exploit our country's free exchange of ideas in order to send around its own propaganda. The company never disclosed to the... I'm sorry. And that is what we alleged happened in this case. In the wake of Russia's brutal invasion of Ukraine in February 2022, RT, which was then known as Russia Today, was dropped by its American distributors. The company ceased its formal operations in the United States, and the European Union, the UK, and Canada banned RT's broadcasting. But as RT itself has boasted, the government of Russia continued to use RT to direct disinformation and propaganda. In the wake of Russia's brutal invasion of Ukraine, RT's editor-in-chief said the company had built, quote, an entire empire of covert projects designed to shape public opinion in Western audiences. We allege that as part of that effort, RT and its employees, including the defendants, implemented a nearly $10 million scheme to fund and direct a Tennessee-based company to publish and disseminate content deemed favorable to the Russian government. To implement this scheme, the defendants directed the company to contract with U.S.-based social media influencers to share this content on their platforms. The subject matter and content of many of the videos published by the company were often consistent with Russia's interest in amplifying U.S. domestic divisions in order to weaken U.S. opposition to core Russian interests, particularly its ongoing war in Ukraine. The company never disclosed to the influencers or to their millions of followers its ties to RT and the Russian government. Instead, the defendants and the company claimed that the company was sponsored by a private investor. But that private investor was a fictitious persona. The charges unsealed this morning do not represent the end of the investigation. It remains active and ongoing. In a separate enforcement action, the Justice Department is seizing 32 internet domains that the Russian government and the Russian-sponsored actors have used to engage in a covert campaign to interfere and influence the outcome of our country's elections. As alleged in our court filings, President Vladimir Putin's inner circle, including Sergei Kirinnikov, directed Russian public relations companies to promote disinformation and state-sponsored narratives as part of a program to influence the 2024 U.S. presidential election. An internal planning document created by the Kremlin states that as a goal of the campaign is securing Russia's preferred outcome in the election.
All right, as Aaron just said, as we're watching it, so here we go again. So they went in and they seized a bunch of Russian domains. That should sound very familiar to you because remember how, and of course, every weak-kneed Republican bows to the 2016 concept of we know that Russia interfered in the election. Just like they bow to COVID, you know, we know that we can open up safely. Okay, as soon as you bow to it, then you're acknowledging that it's all real when none of it's real. None of it. Russia donated 200,000, not donated, Russia spent $200,000 in 2016. $200,000. Equally split between pro-Trump and pro-Hillary ads. That's it. That's the collusion of 2016. That is it. And then you had a bunch of warrants issued out of the DOJ for Russian operatives living in Russia, which, of course, you know, they never did respond to those warrants. Of course, they're living in Russia. Why would you? I mean, I'm serious. That's what that would be like somebody in Russia issuing a warrant for my arrest. Am I going to Russia to answer? Nobody would go to Russia to answer that warrant, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. So they get to say, we've charged all these people. And then they get to say, these people are arrested. They're not really arrested, but we have warrants issued for them. For people that are tied to the Trump campaign. There is no tie to the Trump campaign. There is no tie to Tim Pool. Benny Johnson and Dave Rubin have been smeared by this because people somehow, whether it's some company affiliated with this company, bought ad space in one of these, in Tim Pool's show, Rubin's show, or Benny Johnson's show. So some company owned by another company owned by RT bought ad time in these various conservative shows. And then Garland is saying that they bought that time to influence the election. So again, they're charging people. None of these people are being charged. Eve Garland, to his credit, said nobody even knew that they were affiliated with him. Okay, if they don't know that they're affiliated with RT, Russian TV, then how do you know that the space was bought to influence the 2024 election? And who was doing the influencing? What were the specific ads? And then once again, people are being charged with or accused of using words. Here we are again. Words. You know, they're trying to influence, make people less pro-Ukraine. Words. United States, you're allowed to be less pro-Ukraine. I am certainly not pro-Ukraine, nor pro-Russia. I'm pro staying the crap out of the whole thing. That's what I'm pro.
Yeah.
Slavic conflicts that are 1,000 years old, I don't want any part of those things. Just like I don't want to be part of Iran-Iraq where you're picking between Ayatollah Khomeini and Saddam Hussein. No, thank you. I don't need to choose between Saddam and Khomeini. I don't get involved in that conflict. Thank you very much. I don't do that. So again, the charges are money laundering and fair. It's nothing to do with the names. What they're trying to do is set sort of a precedent here that somehow Russian companies somehow filtered ad money to conservative broadcasters so they could accuse conservative broadcasters of somehow being non-criminally tacitly affiliated with Russia. That's what this is all about. So they can smear conservatives. So I just wanted everybody to know that's what it is. So here's the concern. Put up the Babylon Bee for me, Nas. Here's Merrick Garland. They're going to stop foreign meddlers in our elections, saying party inviting foreigners to meddle in elections, says party inviting foreigners. You're like, Merrick Garland's not part of it. Yes, he is. Merrick Garland is a brown shirt Gestapo of the Democratic Party. So's his deputy, Lisa Monaco. So's Christopher Wray. So's all, you know, the entire DOJ, entire Justice Department, entire FBI, entire ATF are all brown shirt Gestapo for the Democratic Party. So they allegedly, they're so concerned about this, these foreigners interfering in elections. And why do they always fuse Russia? Because everybody, all we were all raised, even Aaron's generation, my generation, we were all raised with movies where Russia's attacking the United States.
Oh, yeah.
So it's Russia, 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 Russia. Our number one geopolitical threat, military threat is China, not Russia. Russia's not going to do anything. Russia has the population of, like, California. Not going to do anything. And yes, they can, we can all, we, both Russia and us, and Pakistan and India, if we all want to blow up the planet, we can blow up the planet because we're all nuclear. You know, we can do that if we want to. And there's other, Israel's nuclear also, UK's nuclear, and there's other ones also. But anyway, so they pick Russia because they know that culturally speaking, it'll land home for Americans because we were all raised watching Red Dawn.
Right.
The various manifestations of Red Dawn. So Russia, 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 Russia. So their whole motivation is they want to stop foreigners from meddling in our elections as they allow 15,000 foreigners to cross the border every day illegally and then register them to vote. Tom, it can't be that idiotic. It is. This is the country we live in. Stop with all the delusions about the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, and, you know, the greatest law enforcement agency. No, they're a bunch of idiots. Merrick Garland is the idiot in charge of all the idiots. It's like you have Alejandro Mayorkas in charge of the Secret Service and DHS and all those idiots. So they're so concerned about Russians interfering in elections as they allow Russians to cross us on the border at will. You know, Russians are crossing us on the border every day. 169 countries cross us on the border. And then in the state of Texas, all you need is the last 4 years Social Security number to vote. Greg Abbott and Ken Paxton are cracking down on it, but they already registered 250,000 people 6 months ago. Remember, they just purged 1 million people off. 500,000 of them were illegals or people living out of the state. Remember that? So it's just so funny to watch the absolute galactic hierarchical hypocrisy of we're trying to stop foreigners from interfering in an election as we allow 15,000. And the estimates now, of course, are 10 to 30 million that they've allowed in the last 3.5 years. And then registered them to vote. You're like, they didn't really register them to vote. No, they gave them an ID so they could register them to vote, so they have plausible deniability. We didn't register them to vote or anything. No, you gave them a Social Security number, and they know in many states all you need is the last 4 Social Security number to get an ID to vote. And I talked about with Joel Altman last night, you have the SCOTUS decision where you cannot register to vote unless you have proof of citizenship. You know what a lot of people are using as proof of citizenship? Their ID. That they got from the last 4 of their Social Security number that was issued to them by Alejandro Mayorkas when they illegally migrated through the southern border. And they're using that as proof of citizenship to vote. And these people are concerned. I love that. Stop foreigners meddling in our election, says the party inviting foreigners to meddle in our election. Great job, Babylon Bee. Awesome. Let me show you this one. Well, Wall Street Apes video, great video. I know I'm jumping all over subjects tonight. I'm going to go a little bit of overtime,
Just
take
a little.
58, little bit. 10:05. I'll make a prediction. 10:05. There we go. 7 minutes.
10:15-ish.
Yes, 10:07 maximum. 10:08, double maximum. 10:11, triple maximum. Triple dog dare, 10:12. All right, Wall Street Apes video. Welp, what more proof do you need voting for Kamala Harris is voting for BlackRock to be president? Play for me.
Did you know Kamala Harris, yeah, Joe Biden's vice president, she partnered up with BlackRock, the company that's acquiring almost all the assets, one of the biggest firms in the world with almost $10 trillion in assets under management. They're getting private information from the Biden administration. I bet you didn't know this. The prospect has learned that Michael Pyle, currently a global chief investment strategist at leading asset management firm BlackRock, will become part of the Biden-Harris administration in the coming days. Pyle, an Obama administration veteran who has also worked on economic policy with Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, will become the chief economist to Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, according to sources familiar with the transition. Pyle will be the third former BlackRock official to join the administration. This is why it's so important to be financially independent and successful on your own merit and never rely on governments. What we've learned over the last couple of years is that they'll promise you the world and likely deliver nothing. The less they give you, the more power and control that they have. And the more power and control they have, the more wealth. This is actually going to be Kamala Harris's next home. What do you think about all of this? Seems shady, right? Drop your comments below. Let's talk about it.
Let's look at this. Wall Street Apes article. Voting for Kamala Harris is voting for BlackRock to be president. BlackRock executive was picked as Kamala Harris's top economic advisor.
Huh.
That's weird, isn't it? I mean, they caused an economic collapse. I mean, just using it as a sliver, as an example, the ban on evictions put into place by the Biden administration during COVID. You know, how sweet they are. They're banning evictions. So they take away all the jobs of the tenants so they can't pay rent and then ban evictions, right? And all those tenants are now on governmental incomes, but those governmental incomes are not big enough to pay rent, so they ban evictions. What does that do? Well, unless you're BlackRock, say if you're someone like me, you know, I've owned rental homes before. If you ban evictions, okay, you're finished. Because then the people can just live there rent-free and you can never, ever evict them. So that you have mortgages to pay on all these rental properties, right? Everyone see how simplistic it is? So they bankrupt all of these middle-class or lower-tier millionaire landlords. They're all now bankrupted. And then there's BlackRock right there, ready to swoop in, buy it all themselves, and then recharge people and then get rents themselves. This is what you call fascism. The merging, it has got nothing to do with racism. It has nothing to do with even the Holocaust. It has nothing to do with anything. Fascism, those things are maybe tenets of fascism. They're results of fascism. But in and of themselves, racism and all those things are not fascism. Fascism is very simply the merging of government and corporatism. Merging of government and corporations. That's what fascism is. That's what BlackRock is. Around the globe, they have merged with governments. Kamala Harris BlackRock executive was picked as Kamala Harris's top economic advisor. Michael Pyle became the third former BlackRock official, third former BlackRock official to join the administration. Harris selected BlackRock's global chief investment strategist, Mike Pyle, as her chief economic advisor, making him the third high-profile member of Larry Fink's $7.8 trillion financial empire in 2021. Mike Pyle, currently a global chief investment strategist at a leading asset manager firm, BlackRock, became part of Biden-Harris administration in the coming days. Will become. Pyle, a Barack Obama, weird, administration veteran, who has also worked on economic policy with Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign.
Wow.
So what you do is obviously you have this corporation and merging with government, and now government becomes a task force or a tactical unit for the corporation. That's what you're seeing around the globe in the name of America. It's actually our government, our CIA, and even our military protecting corporate interests around the globe. Tom, you sound like a leftist. I'm not a leftist. I'm saying if you're going to fight for America, then you need to be fighting for America, not fighting for somebody's corporate interest, as you have the State Department meeting with Brazil to ban Elon Musk. Yeah, that's what you call fascism. That's fascism. Look at this one. Duopoly disrespector video. More on BlackRock. You wonder what's really happening in Ukraine? Here's RFK Jr. Play for me, Ness.
This is a war that should have never happened. It's a war that Russians tried repeatedly to settle on terms that were very, very beneficial to Ukraine and us. The major thing they wanted was for us to keep NATO out of the Ukraine. The big military contractors want to add new countries to NATO all the time. Why? Because then that country has to conform its military purchases to NATO weapon specifications, which means certain companies, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, General Dynamics, Boeing, and Lockheed, get a trapped market. To March of 2022, we committed $113 billion. Just to give you an example, we could have built a home for almost every homeless person in this country. We then committed another $24 billion since then, 2 months ago, and now President Biden is asking for another $60 billion. But the big, big expenses are going to come after the war, when we have to rebuild all the things that we destroyed. Mitch McConnell was asked, can we really afford to spend $113 billion to Ukraine? He said, don't worry. It's not really going to Ukraine.
It's going to American defense manufacturers.
So he just admitted it's a money laundering scheme. And who do you think owns every one of those companies? BlackRock. Yeah, BlackRock. So Tim Scott, during the Republican debate, said, don't worry, it's not a gift to Ukraine, it's a loan. So raise your hand if you think that that loan's ever getting paid back. Yeah, of course it's not. So why do they call it a loan? Because if they call it a loan, they can impose loan conditions. And what are the loan conditions that we impose on? Number one, an extreme austerity program, so that if you're poor in Ukraine, you're going to be poor forever. Number two, most important, Ukraine has to put all of its government-owned assets up for sale to multinational corporations, including all of its agricultural land, the biggest single asset in Europe, in Ukraine. There's been 1,000 years of war fought over that land. It's the richest farmland in the world. It's the breadbasket of Europe. 500,000 kids, almost, Ukrainian kids, have died to keep that land as part of Ukraine. They almost certainly didn't know about this loan condition. They've already sold 30% of it. The buyers were DuPont, Cargill, and Monsanto. Who do you think owns all of those companies? Yeah, BlackRock. And then in December, President Biden gave out the contract to rebuild Ukraine. And who do you think got that contract? BlackRock. So they're doing this right in front of us. They don't even care that we know anymore, because they know that they can get away with it. And how do they know that? Because they have a strategy. And that strategy is an old, old strategy, which is they keep us at war with each other. They keep us hating on each other. They keep the Republicans and Democrats fighting each other, and black against white, and all these divisions that they sow.
All right, so here we go. Let's just break this down real quick. So you wonder why there is a war in Ukraine. Okay, well, number one, the reason why they want NATO, they want Ukraine to be a NATO country, is because then NATO, in order for you to be a part of NATO, you have to agree to only buy weapons that meet NATO specs requirements, NATO prerequisites. That would be the military-industrial complex. That's your, Lockheed Martin, that's Raytheon, and all the other companies that RFK Jr. named. So they all profit if Ukraine becomes a NATO country, because then then Ukraine can only buy their weapons from them. Now let's go into the war. So which the war is basically over. The United States constantly threatening, the United States under idiotic democratic rule, constantly threatening to put Ukraine in NATO. That's what caused the war, as well as the breakout provinces of Donetsk and Luhansk calling out, as well as Crimea, calling out to be annexed into Russia. They don't even want to be part of Ukraine. They want to be part of Russia. That's where the war is. I mean, Crimea has been gone for a long time under the Obama administration. Putin makes sure that he always takes these provinces when you have a weak-kneed, spineless worm as the president. So going back into the war, so $200 billion into the war, we're over that now. That all goes to the military-industrial complex, right? So they want to be part of NATO so that all the left, and when I say left, that includes the McConnells of the world, that includes the Mitt Romneys of the world. Everybody's the left with the exception of MAGA. Everybody else is left. Yeah. I'm telling you, they are all leftist, everyone that doesn't vote MAGA. And I'm not saying that's Trump, 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 Trump. I'm saying that people who have this real conservatism about us, the real conservatives, not the fake ones. And you're like, well, how can you tell? How, by what you say and what you won't say? Do you dutifully put on a mask and take 10 vaccinations and stand 6 feet apart like a moron, like a lamb, like a sheep? That's how you know whether you're genuinely conservative or not. If you did all those things, just simply stop doing them and become real. So all the leftists, the globalist bourgeois elitists, which include most Republicans, and I'm as staunch a Republican as you can be. I'm a real one, though. Most Republicans are fake. So they want Ukraine, the leftist globalist elitists want Ukraine to be part of NATO so that they can profit off of them, because then they have to only buy, they're only allowed to, as a NATO member, buy their weapons if they meet NATO specs. And that, of course, is the military-industrial complex, owned by BlackRock. Raytheon, owned by BlackRock. Lockheed Martin, owned by BlackRock. Honeywell, owned by BlackRock. And anybody else you could name, owned by BlackRock. So then now they get all that also, because all of the weapons that are being used on the Ukrainian side in this war all meet UN requirements. I mean, all meet NATO requirements. They're getting filthy, rotten rich by the billions, all right? So then you have $200 billion that's actually being used in the war, right? Which funds Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Honeywell, owned by BlackRock. Hmm. And then you have, they say that this all this money, this $200 billion, is a loan. A loan that will never be paid, but they call it a loan because then Ukraine then has to surrender their economic sovereignty to their debtor.
Yeah.
They've already yielded 30% of their agriculture to Monsanto, DuPont, who is owned by Aaron?
BlackRock.
BlackRock! Interesting. And then the rebuild has already been given to BlackRock, which is fascism, just so everybody knows. All right, I got to skip something. I got to do something here. I got to do the E. Jean Carroll stuff. Naz, okay. This tough assignment. Greg Price, let's skip up to the Greg Price video. And I think I can do this quick. I think I can do this in less than 10 minutes. How many people think I can? Aaron's skeptical. Now, I already said that I was going to be done by, what did I say, 10:07?
You said like 10:05 or 10:07
yeah, okay.
At first.
I'm already four over.
This is your triple dog dare was 10:11.
Okay, all right. I'm quadrupling triple. I'm going to be done by 10:20. Done. Yeah. Done by 10:20. That's it.
10:30.
10:20. One, two, or three. Yeah. Greg Price video, because it's kind of a long video. Otherwise, I'd have it.
Exactly.
But Trump attorney, Will Scarf, just completely dismantled. And listen, lots of great things happening right now. We are winning. They are not going to be able to sentence Trump. The Judge Mershon, Juan Mershon, he just postponed Trump's sentencing until after the election, because he knew there was no way to get away with it. So he did what was politically expedient for himself, like the leftists always do. So that's a huge win for us. Now we don't have to deal with Trump being in Rikers Island. So now here's another one. So let's now shift to the E. Jean Carroll cases. So many cases, sometime or another, I'm going to be praying Mike Davis onto this show. So we get Mike Davis on here, and we're going to go case by case. I'll love it. I'll be just so immersed in that because I love that stuff. All right, Greg Price video. Trump attorney Will Scarf just completely dismantled the entire E. Jean Carroll. Remember, E. Jean Carroll alleges that 40 years ago, Donald Trump raped her. In an abandoned department store dressing room. Nobody was there. Nobody was anywhere near this. Somehow Donald Trump decides to rape E. Jean Carroll, who he's never seen or met in his life. All right, so here's the attorney. Play for me, Ness.
Good morning, y'all. My name is Will Scharf. I'm one of President Trump's attorneys. Today, we presented oral argument before the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit in one of two cases brought against President Trump by E. Jean Carroll. Now, it's really important to remember that E. Jean Carroll's story at its heart is an utterly implausible he said, she said story. There is no corroboration for anything she has ever claimed about President Trump. There are no corroborating witnesses, as President Trump alluded to. There is not confirmatory DNA. No police report was filed at the time of this alleged incident. She was unable to identify when this incident occurred until quite recently. No surveillance evidence or witnesses have ever been found or come forward confirming any aspect of E. Jean Carroll's story. In light of that, in light of the utter implausibility of the story that E. Jean Carroll was attempting to sell to the jury in this case, her attorneys introduced evidence that should have never seen the inside of a courtroom. Utterly insane efforts to introduce propensity witnesses, Jessica Leeds and Natasha Stoyanov, most notably, in an unfair and improper effort to buttress E. Jean Carroll's failed attempt to assault President Trump. Jessica Leeds' story is instructive here. This is a woman who claims that in the middle of a crowded airliner in 1979, President Trump assaulted her. Leeds has never been able to identify where this plane departed from, where it went to, the date of the flight in question, making our efforts to disprove her testimony extremely difficult. Under the federal rules of evidence, this story should have never been allowed to be presented to the jury in this case. The same is true of Natasha Stoyanov's story, which again lacks any indicia of reliability, any sort of credibility, any sort of confirmatory testimony from other witnesses or anything else that would make you believe that this actually happened. So on the one hand, you have a judge who allowed in this improper propensity evidence that should not have been allowed in. In our view, that polluted the jury's deliberations in this case. That presented a story to the jury of a series of a pattern of conduct that the jury should not have been considering. And we think that absent that propensity evidence, no fair jury could have reached the verdict that was reached in this case. And as a result, we believe that this verdict needs to be overturned. But there's more than that. In addition to this improper propensity evidence, President Trump and his trial team were prevented from cross-examining E. Jean Carroll and other witnesses on crucial issues in particular relating to political coordination and the political motivation behind this entire lawsuit. This is a lawsuit that was instigated in large part by George Conway, a longtime political foe and adversary of President Trump. This is a lawsuit that was funded by Reid Hoffman, a key political ally of the Biden-Harris administration and a major Democrat donor. We were limited in the evidence we were allowed to present at trial about these crucial facts. We were prevented from cross-examining E. Jean Carroll on aspects of that dynamic that underlies this entire lawsuit. And that, too, unfairly corrupted the jury's deliberations in this case and requires reversal of the jury verdict. I think this political coordination point is particularly important, though. It's important to emphasize, because what we have seen in the last few years is a weaponization by the Biden administration and by their political allies of our legal system and of our courts to unlawfully, unconstitutionally interfere with President Trump's core First Amendment right to run for president.
So just like Christine Blasey Ford, what we have is we have a victim who has no idea when it happened, no witnesses, no DNA, no police report, no confirmation testimony, no video evidence, no surveillance evidence, no corroborating witnesses. Zero. Has no idea. Until recently, didn't even know when it happened. Just like Christine Blasey Ford. Couldn't give a date. If Christine Blasey Ford says she was sexually assaulted by numerous men, okay, wouldn't you remember that? You wouldn't remember the address. You would be, the rest of your life, you'd be avoiding that address. You would know exact, she couldn't give a date, time, year, address, nothing, because it never occurred. And then everybody pussyfooted around her too. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure we give you due respect. You don't need to give anybody who is a perjurous, false police reporting, accusational person. You don't need to give somebody who's falsely accusing somebody of rape or sexual assault any respect whatsoever. Get up there and hardcore question that person, interrogate that person. So EJ, and remember, this whole case was allowed because Reid Hoffman, a Democratic funder, and Letitia James extenuated the statute of limitations. It was long since run out. This occurred 40 years ago. You're not allowed to bring a civil case against somebody. You can't even bring a criminal case 40 years later. Unless it's murder. So it was long past the statute of limitations. And they, with all of this funding, with George Conway behind it, and Reid Hoffman behind it, and Letitia James behind it, and all of these different cases in New York City, but this specific one, the statute of limitations had long since run out, and they changed the law so they could try this case in civil court. Then you have this alleged assault that occurred on a plane that this quote unquote witness was allowed to testify. She has no date, no time, doesn't know where the plane was going, didn't know where it departed from or where it was flying to. You wouldn't remember if you were sexually assaulted on a plane where you were flying to or what airport you left from. And judges let these people talk, and they allowed them to speak, but didn't allow, how do you not allow E. Jean Carroll to be cross-examined by Trump's defense? And they also didn't allow Trump to have discovery. You're like, Tom, he will be eventually exonerated then. By who? A judge can do it just like Mershon does, just like Engeron does, just like Shutkin does. They do whatever they want. The only one that has any accountability whatsoever is Shutkin, because her next level up is SCOTUS. But that's, they can do whatever they, you're telling me. Yeah, Bannon wasn't allowed discovery. Navarro wasn't allowed discovery. They weren't allowed to testify on their own behalf. The, Alex Jones was in his Hartford case, Hartford, Connecticut, in, Connecticut case. He was sold by the judge. The jury, the judge told the jury prior to the trial that he was guilty. I don't know if it was Hartford or not. It was Connecticut, somewhere in Connecticut. So everybody knows. But anyway, so yeah, we have the usual, we have the usual, absolute, that's why we titled the show tonight, the current state of our judicial system, is, or law enforcement, I said law enforcement to cover both civil and criminal, is absolutely abysmal. And if you're going to bring these charges against Donald J. Trump, where's Clinton and Epstein? Why, if you're going to go against a civil, some sort of sexual, civil sexual assault case, then where in the world is the DOJ? Where in the world are all of these do-gooders when it comes to Clinton and Epstein? Where, why are we not releasing Dick Durbin? Why are we not releasing the Epstein client log? Here's another one for you. Where did E. Jean Carroll actually get this idea for this case? It was from a Law and Order episode. Play for me, Ness.
Did anyone want to role play a rape with you in a public place?
Yes, there was one, a bit plain, and it was not her fantasy, it was mine.
Okay.
Yeah. Role play took place in the dressing room of Bergdorf's.
In, you say you were in Bergdorf Goodman.
I was coming out of Bergdorf's.
Which was a store I heard you liked a lot.
I was coming out, and he was coming in, he was standing out, and he put his hand like this. So I did not go through the revolving door. He came in, he said, hey.
The dressing room of Bergdorf's. While she was trying on lingerie, I would burst in.
Hold on.
Now, lingerie, or he could have said underwear. And so we went up the escalator. We went to the lingerie department. It was empty. There was nobody there. There was nobody on the whole floor, frankly.
And she sent an email that she wanted her first time to be a stranger rape fantasy. Told me where to go, when, what she'd be wearing, that she wanted it quick, rough, and public.
Let's go in the dressing room. I thought, yeah, I'm going to make him put the pants on. Walked in, and the minute I was in there, he shut the door and pushed me up against the wall and bang, banged my head on the wall and kissed me.
She claims that she fought you.
That was when it turned serious. I realized that this was a fight.
And she wrote, this email dated 5 days ago, if I resist, it only means I want you more.
How long?
Brief. Brief, because when a woman is stamping her feet.
Whatever story this actress told her, she wants money or publicity. Maybe she's just being dramatic.
E. Jean, Carol Martin and me, conspirators, co-conspirators, liars. I mean, he really raked us through the coals, suggesting that we came up with a plan based on a Law and Order episode to bring down Donald Trump. I think we could have done better if we really had wanted to do that.
Well, this kind of thing is why the NEA was gutted. Any suspects? So far, no records, no one on the sex offenders list. Did you talk to anybody who was in the room when it happened?
None that know that happened. It was dark. I mean, they'd all had a few.
Well, that's just great.
We went to the lingerie department. It was empty. There was nobody there. There was nobody on the whole floor, frankly. I think you go through bathing suits and cruise wear, and the store was not popular at the time. Nobody was there on the counter.
That's going to sound strange, people, that nobody was in the...
Because Bergdorf's is the greatest store on the earth.
What about you and Judge Crane? His rape fantasies. You and him in the Bergdorf Goodman dressing room.
Holly, what are they talking about?
Most people think of rape as being sexy.
Mm. Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
Mm. We've just got to take a quick break. If you can stick around, we'll talk more on the other side.
You're fascinating to talk to.
How can you ever be a Democrat and believe in these people? And again, I tell you this all the time. Democrats are fervent, but they're stupid. They really are stupid. With the whole collusion, I'm not going to get into this, but the whole collusion hoax, they did the exact same thing to John McCain, even using mostly the same people. Just so you know, deep dive that, especially go to Dan Bongino and deep dive that. But if you look at this, Aaron, put yourself on. You know more about this than I do. Tell it. Now, it's kind of weird.
yeah.
that both Law and Order and E. Jean Carroll use Burdorf's, and she says that Burdorf's was had absolutely nobody there.
Nobody on the floor.
Abandoned. Nobody was there. Not one person, of course. So then she can say there's no witnesses. Tell us a little bit about Burdorf's.
Well, you know, it's just one of the most like luxury department stores in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
Fifth Avenue.
It's been around for like 125 years, and I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the lingerie department of a luxury department store like that has no one there.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Absolutely nobody there in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
On Fifth Avenue.
Right.
Nobody, absolutely nobody there. It's basically completely and totally abandoned. So she could say this happened.
Right.
Right, because if she said this happened and it was actually a real scenario, there'd be numerous, numerous witnesses. Right? So again, she just pulled this. This is what they have to do because they're not smart. It's just like, right, listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. So the further you get away from God, the stupider you get. That's why they're having, all the Hollywood can do is one remake after another off of movies from the 70s and 80s because they have no conceptual thought anymore outside of a few exceptions. They get stupider and stupider. So these people can't even conjure up their own story. They have to steal it from Law and Order. I mean, it's basically verbatim. Burdorf's? What are the odds? I mean, these people just think that you and I are stupid. You know why they think we're stupid? Because nobody ever fights these things. And I've said this a bunch of times before, but Kavanaugh should be suing Christine Blasey Ford into financial non-existence. And Clarence Thomas should have done the exact same to Anita Hill. And I hope that Matt Gaetz is doing it with his false accusers because they do it over and over and over again. It's the same accusations over and over and over again. Unprovable sexual assault allegations that nobody can prove or disprove. And by the way, if you can't prove or disprove it, is that proof beyond a reasonable doubt?
Nope.
And in civil cases, it's a measure lower than that, but it's a preponderance of evidence. How's that? Preponderance of evidence is civil. So a preponderance of evidence says that you're guilty. No witnesses in an empty Fifth Avenue store in the middle of the day. No witnesses, no DNA, no police report. Doesn't know when, no video evidence, no cooperating witnesses, no confirming testimony, nothing. Absolutely nothing. So the people that funded this, well, mainly behind it was George Conway, absolute galactic idiot, Lincoln Project moron, and a man named Reid Hoffman. Here's another Shadow of Ezra video. President Trump is appealing the absurd E. Jean Carroll verdict against him, where she won without presenting any evidence. That is true. Play for me, Naz.
Despite his remarkable achievements, Hoffman has not been immune to controversy. His name has been linked to Jeffrey Epstein, a convicted sex offender, after news of his visit to Epstein's private island came to light. Little St. James Island, located in the Caribbean, has gained notoriety due to its association with the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. This private island, often referred to as Pedophile Island, was a playground for the rich and powerful, where Epstein allegedly engaged in illicit activity.
It really is hysterical. You see Reid Hoffman being followed by Woody Allen, who married his daughter. I mean, come on. I mean, seriously. You're like, well, it's not his. Well, it's his adopted daughter. It's his girlfriend's daughter that his girlfriend adopted. And Woody Harrelson was dating her mother. Oh. And she adopts this kid. And I'm talking about like a little tiny kid that grew up with Woody Allen, grew up with her as a little kid. He married that girl. And he's walking right behind Reid Hoffman. So Reid Hoffman finances this entire lawsuit because, once again, it's projection. What they're doing is they're protecting themselves from when the Epstein list is released. That's what this is more about. There's all sorts of reasons for it. But one of the main reasons is so they can protect themselves when the Epstein client log is actually released. It's very akin to, they all knew Joe Biden had 1,850 boxes of classified documents and highly compartmented classified documents in three different locations. So what did they do? Raid Mar-a-Lago. Joe Biden, who could never be in legal possession of those documents as a vice president or a senator, and he actually took documents out of SCIFs as a senator, and had highly classified compartmental documents in his garage where Hunter Biden was traipsing through with Russian prostitutes in garage with flattened, gross, half-open boxes, right? Donald Trump's was behind Secret Service protection in Mar-a-Lago and was communicating with NARA and the FBI about their security. Hussein Obama has hundreds of thousands of documents that he swore that he was 440,000 documents that he swore that he would be given back to NARA. NARA doesn't care about his documents, but do care about Trump's. And to this day, Hussein has not given back one of those documents yet. Bill Clinton was found with cassette tapes in his sock drawer. That's where the Presidential Records Act was born. So Donald Trump, there's no way Donald Trump is not in lawful possession. And there's no way that Joe Biden is in lawful possession. So what do you do? Raid Mar-a-Lago. So what do you do here? You have the man who's funding this, knowing that he's on the Epstein client log. He knows he's on the Epstein client list. He's already on the flight log. He knows that he was on Epstein Island. So what do? Charge Donald Trump with what you did to cover up for everybody who's on the Epstein client log. All right, that's good. 10:31. Dadgummit.
I called it.
Dadgummit. I keep trying. I'm trying to shorten the show, everybody. I'm trying to shorten it. All right, Rumble Rants. Thank you. Jesus, mighty name, $12. Thank you so much. Tammy, as always. Tammy L. Margreter, thank you, $10. Leon Fish Puppy, thank you, girl, $5. Appreciate you. Leon Fish Puppy is a girl, by the way. She told me. But listen, I appreciate y'all. Now, listen now. This is the Friday special.
Mm-hmm.
Friday special post game. Don't want to miss it. 870 people still on right now, right in the middle of NFL. NFL launched yesterday and today. Love each and every putt. We popped 900. I thought we'd be in the sixes tonight because the NFL. So I really appreciate you guys. But listen, stick with me for just a couple more minutes because you got to hang for the post game. We're ending with another music video.
Mm.
You don't want to miss it, man. You don't want to miss it. Love you guys. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Oh, join us, Foundation Church, this Sunday. We're popping over 600 just about every Sunday now. On online, I don't care where you live. Don't go to a COVID caving, limp-wristed church. If the pastor hasn't come out and said, you know what, I'm sorry that I caved to COVID, don't go back. Never go back. Just join us online to a church that will stand in the face of the Antichrist spirit and not cooperate with it. Join us at Foundation Church this Sunday. Aaron will start singing somewhere around quarter after 10. I'll be on preaching at about 11. So join us. Got to be part of a church. Trump is great, but he's not the savior. Amen and amen. So join us at Foundation Church, 10 o'clock Eastern. I'll be preaching at 11 o'clock Eastern. All right, God bless you guys. I'll be in the chat. I'll see you Sunday morning at Foundation Church. If not, I'll see you Monday night, 9 o'clock. God bless you guys. I love you. In Jesus' name. Those Christians, though, don't pass the test. And instead, they become controlled opposition for the devil. They just change their theology. I didn't pass the test, but you know what? God's just all about being in the midst of our struggles. That's not a Bible verse. It's not a Bible verse. God wants you to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, not ever struggle. If you do these things, you will never struggle. Those things are really the four essentials: prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship. Well, I tried that. Yeah, you tried it for a day, you tried it for a week, tried it for a month, maybe even tried it for a year. But you gave the devil 50 years. And you gave God 50 minutes. I'm telling you right now, if you prayed and studied the word every day, you would never, ever struggle in your walk with God.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to TomLipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.